Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson, and this is Miss Into Podcast.
The Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast, talking all things Kelly and to you.
Here is Jeremy and Pam.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Miss Into Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast. My name is Pam.
And my name is Jeremy. Thanks so much for being with us this week. And we, this week, are talking about songs that do not belong to Kelly Clarkson, and yet she performed them anyway. How dare she? It's actually a fun episode about fan requests. This is the episode where we talk about how fan requests ran. So, how's that saying go? Fan requests ran so Kelly Oki could walk, or...
No, other way around.
Fan requests walked so Kelly Oki could run.
Correct.
That sort of thing.
So before we get started and go do a deep dive into fan requests, we have some little Kelly news that came out in the last few days. Yeah. I swear these things always come out before we're able to record, or like right after. You know what I mean? Like nothing ever aligns, ever.
Yeah, she has a tendency to release stuff on Tuesdays, or at least make announcements of some kind on Tuesdays, because it feels like we put out an episode on the same day that some sort of big something or other comes out and we just miss it. Then again, we have never claimed to be the source for breaking news.
I'm just not at all, but it's just like by the time we talk, it's like, cool story, bro. Yeah. We know. Anyway, what we're actually talking about is this past Friday, I believe, in the midst of all the Taylor Swift phenomenon, we got a new Kelly song, team.
Woo-hoo. Sure did.
It is a duet with the singer James Arthur. And apparently the song is from his current album, but they, for some reason, decided to cut a new version with Kelly.
Yeah, he is a guy, for those of you who really still follow a lot of the singing competition shows, he is, I believe, an X Factor winner. And
I have no idea. He's definitely bigger, like, overseas.
Yes, thing. Yeah. And he's no, like, brand new artist. I mean, the guy's been around making music for over 10 years. And
I actually saw him.
You did?
Open for Kelly.
What? When was this?
To the 2017. It was one of those radio shows, Fresh Fall Fest. It was him and Julia Michaels. Huh. Yeah, it was right when, like, Love So Soft came out. I'm like, who is this guy? Because, like, I think it was when that... Was he the one that Say You Won't Let Go or whatever it's called? Is that him?
Yeah, Say You Won't Let Go. Yep.
Okay, that's the only song I know by him, and I think it had, like, just become fairly popular here, give or take.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are your thoughts on this song?
You know, I mean, I've made my opinions about duets in the past.
Yes.
But I have to say, I really like this song. Like, I like it a lot. It's one of those ones that you like more and more as you listen to it. I love the production on it. I love how they weave Kelly's vocal in early on in the song. And at the same time, I like how they let James sort of establish himself early before they just bring Kelly in. But then by the time we get, you know, 2/3 into the song, you know, kind of bridge-ish area, they are just melding so well together, and it sounds really, really pretty.
And it's nice that she tends to do this because she's a good person, but she tends to hold back sometimes when she knows that, you know, it's someone else may not be able to, like, hit the notes that she can, but, like, he can, it seems, or similar. But the two of them are wailing, and I think they complement each other very well. And same thing, like, the first time I heard it, I'm like, this is good. And then I kind of had to listen more and more and more. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, this is it. It reminded me of a few different previous collaborations that she's done. It reminded me a little bit of Secondhand Heart. Oh,
yes.
But a little bit more country, like Don't You Want to Stay.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the country part, because the first thing in my head, I was like, wow, I wonder if country radio would give this a chance. I know they're probably not going to work it to it, because nothing says country radio like a former X Factor and former American Idol singer.
Who are not country singers, typically.
Yeah, exactly. But it does have, like, country vibes.
Like a waltzy, I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah, there's
schmaltzy, waltzy.
Yeah, there's something very country about it that I like, and we're definitely not saying that as an insult. It's a good thing. It's just a really good song all around, and it's definitely a grower on me.
Do we say the actual title?
You know what, we haven't. This whole time we haven't even said the title. It's called From the Jump.
Okay. From the Jump.
Yes.
Duet with Kelly Clarkson. So there are two versions out there streaming. There's one with just James, and now there's one with Kelly.
Yes.
So I really like it. I'm really curious how this became a thing, because it's not like I'm sure he reached out to her. But I'm just curious, like, how did that happen? Why this song in particular? I don't know. I have a lot of questions. So maybe we'll be able to find that out in our upcoming episode.
If you want to listen to the original, it's on his album, Bittersweet Love. And yes, speaking of future episodes, I think this may be the first time we say it publicly, at least on an episode where everybody knows. But we are going to be talking. We'll have Jason Halbert on the show again very, very soon, along with his wife, Rhonda. We're going to be talking about their new book here in a couple of weeks. And we're definitely going to bring up this new song to him and just see sort of what was Kelly's part in this, you know, and maybe even Jason. You know, a lot of times when she does stuff with other artists, he's usually responsible for recording her vocal. And sometimes he, you know, helps to collaborate with the other artists as well. So we'll have to see exactly what his involvement was, but that'll be coming in a future episode, just so you guys have something to look forward to.
Yeah, so let us know your thoughts on the new song, From the Jump. We should have mentioned 10 minutes ago. Yeah, I really like it. I think it's awesome, and it's what I love most about it is that we weren't expecting it. So it was just like a nice little surprise.
Kelly Clarkson was very well known early in her career for covering songs. I mean, she was doing it at the beginning with American Idol, and then when she went out on the road, she would oftentimes cover artists. But in her early tours, she was always covering the same songs every night. And then around the time of the All I Ever Wanted tour, she started experimenting with kind of dropping in a different song every once in a while. Maybe depending on where she was in the world, she would put different covers into the set. And then when we get to the Stronger tour, this is when everything opens up wide and the fans start picking the covers. And it became a really exciting time to be a fan, Pam.
It did. It was so it pretty much lasted from the Stronger tour had multiple legs. So it went international. She did multiple legs in the U.S. So she did it for for all of these. And then she also did it in for the 2015 Piece by Piece tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not seen it since. But it was a very cool concept, and I feel like it was a little bit ahead of its time, where basically if you were going to a show and you had a song that you wanted Kelly to cover, you'd go on Twitter, you would tweet hashtag fan request and type in whatever you want. It like helped if you tagged Jason, but you didn't have to. Mm-hmm. Because I just think they kind of scoured the hashtag to see what was coming up. But it was a very cool interactive way to be like, oh wow, they're reading my tweets. It was kind of an early connection to her team. Her team used to be very active. Her and her team used to be very, very active on Twitter in its early days. And this was just another example of the direct interaction that was accessible.
Yeah, it was cool that the fans sort of got to dictate at least some of the set list each and every night. And obviously, it was a big deal to whomever the fan was whose requests ended up being played that night. And we got sort of a way for each and every show. And Kelly said this herself on the stage. She's like, you know, after the first or second show of the tour, the whole show's on YouTube. And there's really no surprises anymore. So they decided to start doing these covers so that every single show in its own way was a little bit different, even if it was just for one song. But it was cool, though, because it made every night special. You know, it made everything a little bit different. And you sort of started to see fans collecting songs like they were baseball cards or something. And, you know, people started debating, you know, the quality of the covers. And mm-hmm. it really did give us sort of a precursor of what we later saw with Kelly Oki.
Yes. And it seems like when they first started this in 2012, she did the first couple shows. It was like she alternated between either a cover or like a song, like a B-side track of hers that is not usually sung. Mm-hmm. Now, that quickly fizzled out into just covers. And then in 2015, they did the covers plus KC Classics. We're not going to go into it fully, but like it was kind of a hybrid. If you look at the songs that she's performed as part of this section, some of the first few ones were actually like, you know, stronger, deep tracks, like not always just like a Reba cover or something. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Also kind of interesting, you know, as mirroring Kelly Oki, because Kelly Oki for the first basically 3-4 seasons was pretty much all covers. And now she's really leaning into her own catalog. Thank you to her mom, I think.
Another part that was really fun for people was, and I think it took a little while for people to realize this, it also helped when she would do outdoor amphitheater shows, is that fans would arrive early to the show and kind of hang out outside of the venue. And in some cases, you might catch Kelly sound checking. And usually during the sound check, that's when they would rehearse that night's fan requests. So again, much like how Kelly Oki is nowadays, where they're learning songs pretty close to the date of when they tape, they were learning a lot of these fan request songs the day of, maybe the day before, if they had an off day. The only difference is that this wasn't just a 90-second, 2-minute bit for TV. This was them learning the entire song, everything from Kelly learning the lyrics to, you know, the band learning all the various parts. And it really ended up turning into being something very special that even to this day, and I go to a lot of shows, and yes, artists cover other artists all the time on tour, but more often than not, they do it every single night, the same song.
Yeah.
And so what Kelly did with the fan request was really rare in music, and it was kind of an extra special treat for us fans.
Yeah, and the thing I think to note is that what's very different about this versus Kelly Oki is Kelly Oki, they have to like get the clearance and they have to get the rights because it has to go on TV. But when you're covering a song on tour, you can just do it. You don't have to get any sort of permission. So that means even more so, they had the opportunity to be even more last minute than they are possibly with the Kelly Okies. So it is such a talent that they were able to learn all this stuff so quickly.
Yeah.
And it was a cool treat. So I was very fortunate that one of mine got picked from, you know, many, many, many tweets. Sorry. I know it's been a decade. Sorry to whoever I spammed. And I was one of those people that I found out about it in an interesting way, because it's not like every night someone heard soundcheck and we all knew in advance. It happened a lot, but it wasn't all the time. But the way that I found out was I was at work and I was going to leave work early to go down to the show. And this was at the time, I don't even know if they're still doing it on the Express, but like they had different like threads for each like specific show. So you could say like, hey, I'm coming to this show. And then like your username would be at the very top post, like fans going to the show. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So I, of course, was like obsessively checking the shows that I was going to. And that day I was checking, it was at PNC Big Art Center in Jersey. So I was checking that thread all throughout the day. And someone was like, there were rumors flying around on the Express that she was covering an Ellie Goulding song. And I'm like, oh my God, I requested an Ellie Goulding song. But it was like one of the top hits of the year. So like anyone else could have as well. And then I got to the show and she said my name, but I didn't put my last name. I just said Pam. So she's like, Pam something. And if you watch the video, it's like dead silent. And then all of a sudden you're here. Wah! That's me. Yeah. Much louder than that. I'll spare you guys. But it was really cool because I mean, we're going to talk to a few people later in the episode who also had their songs picked throughout the tours. I felt like a celebrity that night. People were like, oh my God, she acknowledged you. She sang your song. And I was like, I know. It was wild. And it was a really special moment to be like, oh my God, like for that 3 minutes, like that song happened because I picked it.
Yeah. That was like cool your moment.
It was my moment. Really funny story. I don't know if anyone. So at the time, I was a big Housewives of New Jersey fan. Oh boy. So it was like during its like peak. And our friend Mel was actually a few rows in front of me, and she's also a fan. So the person sitting directly in front of me was a star on the show. Whoa. And I became buddies with him just for that night. I have not heard from him since, obviously, but he thought I was the coolest. His name, if anyone used to watch Housewives like a decade ago, it is Greggy Bennett, the one who is friends with Albie and Chris Manzo. You're probably like, what the hell are you talking about? But I felt very cool that he was like, oh my God, you're Pam. I'm like, damn right I am. Anyway, I don't really know where I'm getting at with this, but it was a very cool moment that I'm very, you know, I don't know if she's ever going to be doing these again. So I'm very fortunate that I was one of, I don't know how many requests she's done. We'll say 75. I have no idea. One of the 75 people picked, so to speak. It was cool.
I actually spent some time last night scrolling through Twitter, and I was trying to use the search function to see if I mm-hmm. could pluck out what song requests I put in, because like, quite honestly, I have no idea. I never did find anything. I know for a fact that I requested multiple songs, but for some reason, either I don't remember exactly how I, you know, put it in, or you know what I did, but suffice to say, none of my choices ever got picked for fan request. So I'm not nearly as cool as Pam. It took me many, many, many more years to get any sort of acknowledgement from the stage, and that was, you know, Vegas when she saw us sitting in the front row. So I did not get to have the same experience as Pam, but we do have other people who did have that cool fan experience, and we're going to be talking with them later on in the show today to get their perspectives on what it was like to get their fan requests, what made them decide to pick the song that they did, and just, you know, how cool that moment really was for them.
And how they found out.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm very excited for this. So question for you, which, yeah. Do you remember which of these you've seen live?
Oh, like, yeah, I remember several.
Okay, which ones have you seen?
I saw Purple Rain.
That was, she did that in Minnesota, right?
She did, yeah, and that's also one of my favorites. Spoiler alert, we're going to be sharing some of our favorite fan requests a little later in the show. Yeah, I saw Purple Rain, and she did it at the Excel Center in St. Paul. And then I saw If It Makes You Happy by Sheryl Crow. I saw that in just outside of Chicago. And, you know, the funny thing was is that I went to a show that had a fan request, but she ended up doing a Casey classic that night for the fan request.
So that's one of the examples I was talking about. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I went on, I think it was like September 4th or 5th of 2012. And it was the 10th anniversary of her winning American Idol.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I've been getting inundated with requests to do a moment like this. And so I'm picking this for tonight. And so I was just like so shocked because she hadn't done that song in concert since the Breakaway tour. I think the OG Breakaway tour.
Yeah. That must have been really special for you.
It was, yeah. I remember because, you know, at the time I didn't have like a phone that took like really good video. So I had like my camera, like my physical camera, and I'm sitting there and I'm like shaking and shooting the video at the same time. And all I can think is, because for some reason, I don't remember why I had it, but I had like my whole computer, like laptop set up and everything. And I remember I was driving back because this was in somewhere in Missouri. I don't remember exactly where. I want to say maybe just outside of Kansas City, or maybe it was like Springfield, Missouri or something like that. But I remember driving back, like the 3 hours it took to drive home. And I remember getting my computer all set up. I took the video off of my camera, put it on my computer. And then I did a hotspot on my phone and spent the next like 2 hours slowly uploading the video to YouTube as I drove back home. Because I wanted to be like the first person who had video of this song up on YouTube. Because back then, which was a priority for me. Back
then, it was. It was a priority.
Because I was like, because first in wins. You know, first in gets like the most views and it could go viral and this and that. I could share it on the Express and on social media and everyone would go watch it. And I was the first person to get it up online, but it looked terrible.
Like,
it
was
terribly shot. I had a terrible camera. It was like, it went like weirdly like focused on different things. And like the focus would change throughout the song. The audio was decent, but the video was pretty bad. I think a couple days later, somebody else uploaded their video. I think they were sitting a little closer than I was. And so their video is significantly better than mine.
Damn.
And so that's the one that gets all the views. So my video is, I tried. So maybe we'll send out the link to my video when we promote this episode. That way it can get a little couple of extra views there on the old ticker.
Sure.
I'm trying to think outside of that, what other songs I saw. I mean, because Purple Rain was on the Piece by Piece tour. If He Makes You Happy, I believe, was also Piece by Piece. I'm trying to remember, you know, Stronger was.
I mean, I can literally send you the list right now.
Oh, I have the list. Oh, okay. I know the list. I'm just trying to remember how many shows that I went to on the Stronger tour.
You're not as crazy and anal as I am that I'm like, I know I went to this specific show of every single tour, the exact city and the exact date, because I'm weird.
Oh, yeah. I don't always remember that. So
you're normal.
I think I'm trying to remember if I did go to, because I'm trying to remember if I went to the show in outside of Chicago, because the Stronger tour played Tinley Park and she did Justin Timberlake that night. She did Cry Me a River.
Oh,
and I don't remember if I was at that show.
Jeremy,
I know. I mean, first world problems. Then you're going, oh, I've been to so many shows. I can't remember all the covers. that's not what I'm trying to say. It's just I as a human being have a terrible memory. Like I have to.
That's fair.
That's why I keep all my ticket stubs. It's not because it's like a cool souvenir, which it is, but it also reminds me, oh yeah, dummy, you've seen that person in concert before. Here's the proof. I have to.
You have to.
Your boy is old.
Listen, I mean, even my memory's getting there. I have a note in my phone of just all the shows, and that's how it stays with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. I'm just going to go and talk about the ones I've seen. Not that you asked, but I'm going to. Okay. So, the first leg of the Stronger Tour, it was one of the very first shows. It was pretty close to one of the first shows. She did. I was not excited about this at the time because I didn't know it. Looking back, it's like, I should have been more excited. My Man by Barbra Streisand. I was like, what is this? I was a teenager. I was like, I don't know what this is. and it was at like Radio City. It was like actually an iconic moment, but I was like, I don't know what this is. I wrote but my next one and I'll tell you what I wrote. The next one was on the Frey tour. It was I'll Stand By You by the Pretenders, except I wrote I'll Stand By You. It's like you're on a flight. I'll Stand By.
I'll Stand By.
I'll Stand By You. That one was cool. One of my absolute favorites was a few nights later on that same tour was, and this was my very first time ever front row for her. Somebody that I used to know, Gautier, Kimbra.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. It was like a religious experience seeing that live. It was so good. It was really good. And then I saw a few shows on the Piece by Piece tour. So opening night was Nobody Love by Tori Kelly, which I actually forgot about that song until I was doing this. And I listened to it the other day and I was like, this is a bop. And I have to give, she has new music out right now. I need to listen to it. Random. The next one was Ellie Goulding. Your girls love me like you do. that was a very special moment. And then my last one that I saw was at Radio City. This one was like iconic. She did stuff like that there.
Oh.
It was a moment. I know. At Radio City, I was like, this is it. This is a moment I will never forget. So those were some really cool ones.
I just want to see her do that song live once.
I know. And like, we could have had the opportunity in Vegas, but it was just like a random show that we were not at.
Yeah, did she do that? That was one of the Wednesday shows.
I think it was, which I remember, like, we used to joke, be like, oh, LOL, the Wednesday people are going to get, like, the shit end of the stick. And no, they got, like, the really good stuff.
All the blue hairs getting, like, the really good songs.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell?
What should we do tonight? Let's go see Kelly Clarkson.
Excuse me?
That's my old lady voice.
Okay. I was like, what the hell is that?
I'm all out of money gambling. Let's go see Kelly Clarkson. That's a choice. I know.
That voice actor, you're not, but I appreciate
the
effort.
No, I'm not.
I appreciate the effort.
Now, just to be clear, Pam, yeah. I just want to make one thing sort of clear. The fan request was really just Stronger and Piece by Piece. Because by the time we get to the Meaning of Life tour, that one was sort of plotted out ahead of time.
Oh yeah, that
but
was
not
all
picked by fans.
Correct. Yeah, so it was pretty much just from like 2012 through 2015.
Yeah,
that's all that this was. It was kind of short-lived, all things considered. The Meaning of Life tour was like very much like produced in advance, because they were doing it all on Facebook Live. They had a bunch of guests come in. It was a very bigger production.
Yeah.
But this was a really cool like blip in time, and I really think this did help. I don't know. I mean, I feel like next time we speak to someone who was in the band at that time, either Jason or Aben or whomever, I think this was a really good precursor to preparing for things like Kelly-Oke.
Yeah, and I think that they were already, I think even before they decided to do this, they were already getting people requesting songs and telling people, you know, or telling Kelly that they wanted to hear her cover certain stuff. So it was just a natural transition for them to go into this.
And it's wild that like they were always good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there was like once in a blue moon there was one that you can tell was a little rough. There's one in particular that I remember that was like a little rough. It was Not Over You by Gavin DeGraw.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't bad, it's just like it just didn't flow the way that they were expecting to, but you know what, it happens. And I think it's further proof that like, not that we ever had a doubt, but like they're really performing live. They're really doing it live. And I mean, they're still doing it better than ever I could. So,
all right. So have you finally run through all of the songs that you saw?
Yeah, I did. You may have more and you just don't remember. That's not my problem.
Well, nonetheless, I might. I sincerely don't know. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at my list and I'm just like, I think I maybe saw one of these. I don't remember. So maybe I got cheated out of a fan request.
But you saw a moment like this. That's pretty damn cool.
But here's the thing. Then she went off and started the Meaning of Life tour with it. And it sort of, I don't want to say it diluted it, but it kind of diluted it because now...
There's
you know,
a 7-year difference there, dude. Seven years.
I know.
No. This is us being like so. I don't want to use the word pretentious, but just so first world problems of us. I remember on the Piece by Piece tour when they started doing the Casey Classics as well, which was basically just songs that would never be in wouldn't be in the set list nowadays.
Sure.
I remember I was so salty because I adore the song. But classic, it was not. It was 3 years old. It was not a classic. She performed People Like Us. I was like, are you kidding me? That's not classic. So anyway, I just had to point that out. It was kind of funny looking back.
Yes. That classic hit from Greatest Hits Volume 1.
Volume 1, Jason Howe. No. That was so funny, guys. I mean, This is now going to be out like a few weeks later, but like, that band thing that they did, the game, the talk show recently, the Kelly Versus, that was so funny. I messaged Andy and I was like, more of this. It was so funny. Well, it's funny because just a little behind the scenes, I'm not really sure I'm supposed to be saying this, but I'm going to. When I went to the talk show a few weeks ago when they had that Saturday episode, this was filmed in between the morning and the afternoon shows of that Saturday. And I only know that because I bumped into Andy for like 30 seconds that day. And Kelly was starting to lose her voice. And he's like, oh my God, I think she's losing her voice because of me. And I'm like, what? He's like, we just did a band segment. We filmed it. And then I watched this back and you see when she's just, you know, dropping the F-bomb here and there. And I'm like, no wonder she lost her voice. But it was worth it. It was worth it. We are so excited to welcome two fans of Kelly's that also had their songs picked on the either Stronger or Piece by Piece tours. We are so excited to welcome for the very first time, Rob and Jamie. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Oh, it's good to see you guys.
Welcome to the podcast. Rob, it's nice to meet you. I've never met you before. I don't know you, but thanks for joining us. Jamie, sup? It's been a minute, but how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Jamie's sweatshirt I kind of want. It says, what would Kelly do? I hope you wear that to like a show or talk show one day.
I know. I was trying to figure out, like, because it's so hot at the shows.
The talk show, I feel like you can get away with wearing
a sweatshirt. Probably.
I think that's hilarious. But anyway, we're not going to talk about wardrobe. Rob, so first of all, tell us where you're from, how long you've been a fan for, just a little bit of background about you and your history as a Kelly fan.
Absolutely. So I am from Bowling Green, Kentucky. I have been a KC stan since literally 2002. that's literally it. Like, I remember when Kelly, the fan request started, everything. Like, I have been here through it all. So,
I love that. Also, I love your accent. It's adorable.
Oh, thank you. It's kind of annoying, though. Like, I don't realize how country I sound until I hear myself on audio.
But it's like, it's a treat for me because I never hear it. So I absolutely adore it.
Pam has to sit there and listen to the Jersey accent all the time. So,
which I don't think I have one. I just think I'm talking normally, but apparently it's there.
Same.
Yeah.
Oh, it is absolutely there.
I think everyone, like, no matter who you are, you're like, I don't have an accent because it's what you're used to. And then people are like, no, shut up.
Remind me, Jamie, are you from Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Do you have like the Pennsylvania accent?
Is there one?
I don't really, like, I don't have, like, a Philadelphia, like, Warder or anything like that.
Yeah, Philly's got an accent.
Warder.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, like, I'm from, like, the middle of nowhere in the middle, so I don't think we have an accent, but again,
I don't
it could
think
be.
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, Jamie, it's great to see you again.
Good to see you.
You're one of the people who's probably saw Kelly the very first time, one of the very first ones.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it feels like it's been forever, but.
Tell people where you first saw her.
It was after she won American Idol, her hometown in Burleson gave her just the key to the city. And I think they made it like a Kelly Clarkson day. And I had an uncle who was like a seasonal employee at a hotel. So he was like retired half the year. And he was like, oh, what's that girl you like? Like, cause I was like, oh, she's my favorite singer, like done. And he asked what she was doing. And I said, oh, she's about to get the key to the city. And he said, well, let's go. And he drove me. I couldn't even drive yet. I didn't even have my learner's permit. He drove me all the way to Texas and back in 3 days.
I was going to say, like, how I was like, normally, like, how would you have convinced, like, your parents be like, hey, can I go from Pennsylvania to Texas to see this random girl? And you're like, a child.
I know. That's why I was thinking, like, there's probably such a safe space with Kelly stuff, but I was also like getting on sketchy Greyhound buses to like Reno, Nevada, like probably way too young.
I mean, I feel like we've all been there doing stuff that we probably shouldn't have, but we're here to tell the tale.
It was pretty mild.
Pretty mild, all things considered.
We are all cautionary tales that you can in fact meet strangers from the internet and make it home.
Yeah.
Don't jinx anything.
Jamie, did you go to like the Walmart show?
I went to the Thankful album signing in Burleson. I think it was the next year. And I actually learned to drive. I had gotten my permit and I learned to drive to Texas listening to Thankful.
Oh my God.
And then we went and it was like, it's so funny looking back because like the barricade was a row of shopping carts.
Oh my God.
Like, it's so funny now because I'm like, oh, now we're at Barnes & Noble. And it was a Walmart.
The barricade was a row of shopping carts. I didn't know that.
It was like a little stage and then a row of carts.
That's amazing.
That's hilarious.
Oh, if she would only do that again. I mean, like, she, I feel like she, like, for a blip in time, like, went back to those roots with the Microsoft Store shows and, like, the, during, like, was like Stronger-ish era. That's it's a little scale up from parking lot Walmart vibes, but it was still like a mall parking. Anyway, we're not here to talk about the Microsoft Stores. That could be a whole other episode in itself.
I realized that Jenna Dewan was one of her dancers.
Yes.
At that Walmart thing, which is really weird. Like, looking back, I don't know. She had, like, backup dancers?
Yes. The very few times she's had it. No, it's fine. I forgot about that. But so that random. Is so true. I feel like Jenna's been on Kelly's talk show. She definitely has been.
She's at least been once. Yeah. Because I know they talked about the old days.
Yeah. So, Rob, tell us about what song you requested, when it was, and tell us just about the whole experience of, like, requesting it, from finding out she's singing it, to post-show.
So, little background. I had went to the... It was on the Stronger Tour. I went to Atlanta, chose the song. She didn't do it, obviously. I was bummed, whatever. Then I went to see her in Springfield again, once again. Didn't choose it. So I was like, well, I am manifesting this. I'm going to choose a song that I know she loves and will absolutely do if she sees. So I was like, well, she loves India Ari. I'm going to choose Ready for Love, because I had read that she had talked about the song before. So I was like, I'm going to choose it. I was not in Reno when she did it, but.
Wait, did you request it specifically for Reno?
Yes. Yes, I literally was, I'm telling you, I, like, had all of this planned out in my head, and it happened.
So how did you, so especially not being there, which is really funny, because I would have never thought to request a song for a show I wasn't at.
I was going to request it no matter what.
Yeah, no, it's kind of smart. So how did you find out? Because you clearly weren't at the show. It's a different time zone.
Yeah. So what I was doing after I had put in my little fan request on Twitter with my little hashtag and everything, tag Jason, all of it, I remember going to Twitter, then going to Fuck Yeah Kelly Clarkson Tumblr.
Which was me.
Yes, I know. I know.
Oh my God. I was a resource. Thank you.
Yes. So I remember seeing on Twitter that she chose Ready for Love. And I was like, oh my God, that's me. That's my song. I remember freaking out, and you guys on Fuck Yeah used to repost, like, the videos once they got uploaded. You would repost the videos. So I remember immediately going to the Tumblr page, scrolling, like, refreshing, just waiting for you guys to post it. And then you did. And I was literally shaking whenever she was, like, doing her little speech before. And she's like, tonight, yeah, we chose Ready for Love. And then I'm like, oh my God, she's going to say my name. So... here you go.
Oh.
I was crushed. I was like, no, she finally chose my song and didn't even say my name.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But there is a silver lining.
There is. I remember being like, okay, I was just happy she did it. I went to Twitter, tagged Jason again, and I was like, was it my choice, or, like, was somebody else request it? And he pretty much verified that my Twitter name was... on the monitor, but she thought it was a joke, so she did not say my name, because my Twitter name was Robitoots. So I guess I didn't have my real name on there. They couldn't find it. She did not say Robitoots on the monitor.
Oh my God.
But he confirmed it was me,
and you sent a screenshot, so it is, like, actual confirmation that, like,
yes,
it was yours. That's wonderful. So was it, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't this song one of the ones that eventually went on to be on, like, the...
on Apple Music, all
the,
that.
Yeah,
on the,
like, the...
live little single she released.
Yes.
Yeah.
That must have been even more special for you, because you're like, wow, I get more than just, like, a crappy YouTube video. I get, like, high quality.
Official audio. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool. I'm so happy for you. I mean, like, did you feel like it was, basically just, like, you're like a slight connection, like the 4 minutes you're like, me and Kelly are aligned?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Even though my name wasn't said, I knew it was my song. Jason confirmed it, like, and the fact that it's, like, one of the, maybe, what is there, like, six that are officially on streaming, so It's amazing. It really feels like you have that connection with her because she chose it.
It really does. It was a really special time to be like on Twitter. I was saying that earlier. So, Jamie, you also had a fan request chosen, and I have to say, it's probably one of my top five. And I'm not just saying really? That. It is.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what about it, what she did with it. Because, like, I love the original.
Yeah.
I don't know what she did, but, like, the song was made for her. So you can tell everyone all about
she your really, opinion. Like, growls into it. And
it's insane. Yeah. So please go ahead and tell everyone the story.
I picked Shake It Out by, I always think it's Shake It Off for a second because of Taylor Swift.
Yes.
But it was Shake It Out by Florence and the Machine. Mm. And I am very lucky where I'm at in Pennsylvania because I can pretty much go to any Northeast show within like a couple hour drive, New York, Pittsburgh, Philly.
Very spoiled here.
Yes. So, I mean, I only put in for shows that I was going to, but I was just trying anything, you know, oh, this will be a funny song. This will be a nostalgic song. And then I can't remember how I came across the Florence and Machine one, but we heard it at soundcheck. And I was still convinced it wasn't like my pick for, like, I was like, no, it's not mine. And then she was doing the thing where she wasn't saying the person's name. So I didn't expect anything anyway. And then, so it was a big surprise. I didn't know really what was happening.
And then did she say your name during it?
Yeah, she said something like, I know this girl or something.
You know, she does that. Like, yes, oh. Yes. That's so cool. And like, I don't know.
And it was like chaotic because there was like beach balls being thrown on the stage and Mikey had like a bugle.
Oh God.
Like a horn that he was blowing and Kelly was like, stop blowing that horn. Like,
I'm not surprised.
It was just chaos.
I'm chaos. So not surprised that. And also like, that's not like a party song at all.
Classic Jersey crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was trying to think Holmdale. I'm like, I don't even
Holmdale.
Know where that is.
Holmdale.
Yeah.
So that must've been during the Stronger tour.
Yep.
Because
is it? Okay.
Because I had the fan request for the Holmdale show for the Piece by Piece tour. I
okay,
didn't.
Yes.
I wasn't at wow. your. I wasn't at your show because I just gone back up to college like that week. So I was like, I can't make both happen. But I was like, Holmdale is like, this is so not gonna be interesting for anyone except for like us and anyone who's in the area. Holmdale is basically like, if artists ever want to do like a amphitheater show in like a New York City suburb, they'll either go to Holmdale in Jersey or.
Like Jones Beach or something.
In Long Island. Those are like our equivalents of like outside the city, like amphitheater sort of summer shows. Anyway, I mean, this was really a blip in time. Like, I don't think I see this happening again. And
no.
I think it was a nice precursor for the karaoke segment on the talk show. But this was like a very unique thing that like, if you were a fan, if you were on Twitter between 2012 and 2015, you knew about it. If you were not on Twitter, you didn't know about it. And I just think it was a really special thing. Because like all of us have been to shows for different eras of her career.
Yeah.
Something about these were almost some of my absolute favorites.
And we should also, it needs to be said that Jamie's was also part of the Kelly Clarkson Live collection as well.
Oh, that's right.
Was it?
I can't remember. I just know that Ready for Love was because that's. But
yeah,
there you go. See,
I know it was like 2012, which is insane.
It is.
Yep.
Okay.
And this is, and honestly, I mean, I'm glad you requested this, Jamie, because this is one of my favorite covers. And you
really,
know, because when I go and I listen to this particular, because every once in a while I'll go and just listen to the fan requests. I call it the fan request album. But when I listen to that live, I kind of hand choose some of the songs that I want to kind of start with. Like I start with Deborah's request of Creep. I do Shake It Out. Ooh. I always do the Walkaway Uptown Funk mashup. And I do Fix You because Fix You is one of my all-time favorite covers of hers. And
I always like the Lose Yourself Eminem. I don't know why.
Yes.
I like the Eminem one.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just with her in the
and
hoodie.
And when she was like wearing the hoodie. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Because I remember she like covered, this was not a request, but I remember meeting a Life tour. She did like a Post Malone cover at one of the shows.
Better Now.
Which was good, but I'm like, it was not Lose Yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I loved when she did that Alanis Kings of Leon mashup?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be good. Use somebody.
Yeah, that was all I ever wanted to her.
And then that
was one of my favorites.
And then they put it on Smokestack.
Smokestack, yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So good.
So good.
So what? Okay. So this is now just like a question not entirely related, but just covers in general. For each of you, what are some covers that she's not done on tour? I mean, it's really hard to keep up what she's actually done on the talk
right.
show. But what right. are some covers? I mean, I'm sure there's probably some covers you can think of that she has not done yet that you are like dying for her to do, or ones that you know you had requested on Twitter back in the day that she never ended up doing.
Basically, like if she was doing the fan request,
yeah, like
she
now.
Was going out on tour now, what would you request?
Okay. I've been kind of begging for... it's an old song, but it was one of my favorite songs when I was a kid. But it's Mr. Big.
To be with you. I love that song.
And so I've been kind of begging her to do it. And I don't think she probably ever will. But, you know, it's kind of my pipe dream.
I love that. That's a great choice.
That's a great choice. And you never know. I mean, like, yeah. The most random stuff.
I keep kind of like, you know, at Jason, like, listen.
Hey.
But
Rob, how about you?
Honestly, I would choose something Beyonce Renaissance.
Ooh.
Yeah, I could you imagine what she could do with Cuff It?
Oh my gosh.
Like, yeah.
What are your thoughts on the new album? Like her on her covering something on the new, because I feel like that's like probably like
yeah.
more
yeah.
likely.
Yes, I would love for her to do probably 16 Carriages or even
I mean, Texas Hold'em would be very appropriate.
Texas Hold'em, yeah, 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 yeah. And I would love to if she would also do the Two Hands to Heaven. I don't know if you guys have heard that one on there. I love it.
I will admittedly, I listened to the album once through.
I know it would be kind of hard for her to do because it was a duet on the record, but I would love to hear her do Levi's Jeans.
Ooh.
Yes.
Just Ooh, because yeah. I love that song from the Beyonce album. Mm-hmm. And I mean... Okay, since we're just saying, you know, hey, pipe dream, like if she can get Post Malone to come out and do it with her too, that'd be awesome. But
yes.
you know, maybe get somebody, you know, somebody else to do the Post Malone parts. But yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Yes, that would be great.
Yeah.
So I remember just one last thing. So on the talk show when they first started, spoiler for those who don't know, it was a little planned. But they, you know how like the first couple seasons they would have fans in the audience being like, I requested Kelly to sing blah, blah. It wasn't always the fans' request. A lot of times right. it was like a producer trying to set something up. But I still thought it was a really cool concept that kind of was the hybrid between the tour, the thing that we had, and like mm-hmm. the talk show. And I get that like it's just a lot of planning and it's a lot of organizing, but I think that would be such a cool concept to really lean into that. So like someone in the audience, like on the little form online, when you fill it out, it's like, what song would you like Kelly to perform? And obviously I know like there's a lot of clearance that has to go through. But I think that would be a really cool thing to kind of bring yeah. that back, especially for a lot of the newer fans who weren't around during this time.
Right.
Just
yeah, I think that's one of the special things about Kelly is she somehow finds a way to give everyone kind of their moment in the sun.
Yeah.
Like every fan, you know, obviously I know she recognizes people, but I just think she really takes time to like give everyone, you know, their moment, which I think is what makes her such a good host. And
yeah. I mean, especially because like think of pretty much any other major pop star. The accessibility yeah. doesn't exist.
No.
And yeah. even like getting like a tweet acknowledged is like a really big deal.
Growing up, like social media, like it was so funny. Like you, like I just remember being like so young and so thirsty for like tweet me.
Oh, we all
so lame.
Me too. Oh my well, god.
And yeah.
I think we all got really spoiled, quite honestly, early in the days because not only was she very accessible on Twitter. She would occasionally yeah. show up on message boards. They were constantly in the early days. They were having people, you know, send in questions and doing, and she would do like the, I think it was called the Ask Kelly or something, where she would like answer fan questions, you know, on her website and whatnot. And so I think there was that level of accessibility that, like we were just saying, not every artist gives you. And we had it for so long. Like it wasn't just like a one-time hey, such and such pop star is going to answer your questions, and then they never do it again. Like, she did it for years. And then about the time that the sort of the question answering kind of went away was about the time that the fan request thing started to come around. And then after the fan
request, that is a good point.
After fan requests kind of go away, then, you know, when it comes to like the Meaning of Life tour, now we're getting nightly Facebook Live check-ins from every single show.
Right.
And then you move even further past that. You go to the talk show. You've got one person in the audience every single show getting to like have a moment on camera, getting to sort of say something directly, but yet indirectly to both Kelly and the guest. And they get to, you know, do a kind of a fun thing that they can save forever and put on their social. I mean, Kelly has found ways to integrate the fans into what she's doing ever since the very beginning. I mean, you could even trace
it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, you can trace it all the way back to people calling in and voting for her on Idol. So this is one of the reasons, it's sort of the bedrock of one of the reasons why people love her so much, is that she involves the fans in some way, shape, or form in so many different aspects. You may not even notice it, that it's happening, but like it is, like it's happening all the time. It just may not be happening to you, but there's always that possibility that it could be you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's always in new ways. Like for a while it was social media. It was,
it's constantly evolving.
So, I mean, like I don't have any ideas of what the next technology will be, but I'm sure there's going to be something. And it's just cool because, and also especially people who, you know, thank God we have technology, people who don't live anywhere near the States or they have never had a chance to see Kelly but adore her. And I think it's just a cool opportunity that just that we have the technology, that there is some sort of connection, whether that's like a like.
I can't believe she's in New York. Like, I never would have thought she'd be in New York. I would have died if I had been like 20 and she had been in New York.
Forget it.
Well, and even with the talk show, outside of the fan getting to throw to break, I mean, if you think about it again, yes, you know, Kelly Clarkson is sort of transitioning in how we see her. Yes, she is a singer first and foremost, but let's be honest, she's also a very successful talk show host.
Yep.
But when you think about some of the biggest artists that are out there, and even, you know, some of the, you know, smaller, more, you know, more, how should I say, like even on the level of Kelly, because like Kelly's not a Beyonce, a Taylor Swift, you know, any of those level, like they are phenomenons right now. But, you know, artists that are more like on her level, they're not even giving the kind of exposure that we get to Kelly. And the point I'm trying to make is like, even on Saturdays, when we get up in the morning and there's a new digital short from the talk show, we get that, even that little extra sort of peek into her personality, her rapport with the band, her rapport with a celebrity, or just her herself getting in front of the camera and doing something goofy. You don't have that with any other singer. Like, I don't know a single other performer out there, talk show or singer, that's doing anything like that. Like, we are, even though, you know, the concerts, the live shows are fewer and farther between, we are still pretty spoiled when it comes to new and fresh content that we get delivered to us every single
week. Well,
even
like her walking through the crowd in Vegas and stuff and taking pictures and signing, like that wouldn't happen at very many people's show.
Not at all. Her taking shots with people.
The shot that she just took with the guy a few weeks back.
Yes.
That would like, well, first of all, Kelly, you should not be doing that. But yeah, no one would be doing that or doing all that. Like, I mean, the selfie's fine, but the shots and like people getting married, who we had on the podcast, it's wonderful. So yeah, we are standing the right person.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact.
I mean, I've gone too far now. I've just...
I feel you.
Well, it's like, show me a reason to not like her, you know?
Yeah.
I can say she's the only celebrity I know of that I don't think she's changed.
No.
I would say maybe the level of fame, and there's more maybe people in between her and you, but as long as you can like say to her, will you stop? I've never seen her stop being, you know, very loving or grateful about it. Like, she's always, I think, been very down to earth about it. So
yep.
That's who I wanted to be near.
You voted for the right person. I mean, I didn't vote, but you three did.
No, my mom wouldn't let me.
Really?
No.
Oh my, yeah. I mean, that's, I was back in the day when you, my had, mom you had to pay for the those individual yeah. calls.
Justin Guarini's dad invited me to the Philadelphia from Justin to Kelly premiere, and then my mom wouldn't let me go.
What?
And I was so mad at her.
Could you imagine?
I was so upset.
Because you're
was
from
so dramatic.
That area, give or take, right?
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah, they had, I think they had a Texas premiere and a Philly premiere
okay.
for, I think.
God, that
yeah,
poor girl, she had to see it twice.
Awesome.
And I wrote letters to them when they were filming it.
Oh my God.
So I have like little, oh, it's so lame.
Listen, it was of the time. It was of yes. the time. So don't feel so bad. Jamie and Rob, thank you guys so much for joining us. And thanks for sharing your story with us. And hopefully we'll see you guys at a show sometime soon that's not Vegas or Atlantic City. Fingers yes, crossed. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Bye. Have a good day.
Thank you so much to Rob and Jamie for joining us today and talking about their picks that were chosen for fan requests. It's really special to hear other people's like stories and perspectives. It's kind of a bummer Rob wasn't there, but yeah. I'm glad he got a video and he has really good audio.
Yeah, I mean, heck, that's worth the price of admission. It's like what Deborah said all those years ago now, since we've talked to her and talked about her fan request. You know, it's cool to have that file and just know that that song exists because of them.
Yeah.
And you can, I mean, nobody can take that away from them. There's a permanent record of that song happening. So good on them. Yeah, great to meet Rob for the first time. Always great to see Jamie. You know, we've known Jamie, gosh, 20 years now, yeah. just being in the fandom. And just before we get to, you know, our favorite fan request, I just want to say that it's so cool doing this podcast, because in addition to getting to meet brand new fans who may have just, you know, come on board the Kelly train, if it were, you're also getting to meet longtime fans for the first time, and you're getting to see familiar faces that you have either interacted with in person at shows over the years, or you've interacted with them online via message boards and social media and whatnot. It's just, it's cool to have this platform to be able to connect with fans. It's my favorite part of this entire thing that we do. I mean,
oh, me too.
Yeah. It's great to talk to the band, and it was great to talk to Kelly, and I know we'll get to do that again. And that's awesome. But I really most enjoy talking to the fans, because you guys are the ones that make it so much fun to be a part of this community. So props to each and every one of you.
Amen, brother.
Yo.
Yo. All right. So let's talk about a few of our favorites. This yep. was very difficult to narrow down.
Uh-huh.
Because I was like, I could list the whole thing, but I won't. Where is my list? Da, 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 da. Okay. So some of my favorites, we mentioned earlier, Shake It Out. Absolutely adore that one. I also mentioned somebody that I used to know, Gautier, great one. Another one that I'm obsessed with that I feel like we don't talk enough about is her cover of We Found Love by Rihanna.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It is one of my absolute favorite covers she's ever done. I don't know why, but I just think like she did a really cool take on it. She sounds killer. I feel like it could be her song.
Do we feel like Kelly does enough Rihanna? I feel like she doesn't do
she's
enough
done
of
a
her
few.
Songs.
She's done a
I know
few.
She's done a few, but like I feel like there's so many more that she could do.
Oh, she hasn't done a lot on like the talk show.
Yeah, I she think, did. She did Only Girl in the World early yeah. on.
But like I think most of the Rihanna stuff she's done has been tour. Or like yeah. that random thing she did, was it for like BBC?
When she did Bitch Better Have My Money.
Yeah.
That was phenomenal.
That was hilarious.
By the way, look that up on YouTube if you don't know that. I really, I want her to do the Rihanna song from Black Panther. It's called Lift Me Up, and it was from the Wakanda Forever soundtrack.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. I would love to hear Kelly do that song. Man. How do we re-jump start the fan request? Because now I need to send that in.
Someone on the team, if you're listening.
Hey.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. oh, and she also did Love on the Brain. during the Facebook Lives when she was like announcing the Atlantic thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. There's so many. She has so many hits. She is, according to Spotify, Rihanna is the fourth most streamed artist in the world on that platform.
Which is crazy.
Not surprised. Anyway, enough about Rihanna. Another one that I absolutely love is more of a ballad. E is The Only Exception by Paramore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a good one. Although I would to hear Kelly do more Paramore, but more of the like early, like their first like two albums, like pop rock.
I was going to say, you want the more rocky.
I want like
up-tempo.
Pressure and Crush, Crush, Crush. Like I like those. Yeah. I love, but I adore this song though.
Because, yeah, she brought that back for a Kellyoke too, didn't she?
I believe so.
I think she did it on the talk show not terribly long ago.
But it's beautiful. I have a few more on here. I mean, they're really all great. Creep, yep. TLC was hilarious. Or no, I'm thinking of No Scrubs. No Scrubs.
Yes.
That's the one where Einar is dancing. That's right. What I meant. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Valerie, she did on during the Piece by Piece tour. Mm-hmm. Breathe 2 a.m. Anna Nalik.
Uh-huh.
And then I have two Britney songs here that I absolutely.
Really?
Yes, which I wasn't expecting, but I love her covers of. She did Every Time, which is just a heartbreaking song.
That's one I saw.
That you saw that?
That was in Vegas. That was at the Cosmopolitan in Vegas. Because that was the night I had my meet and greet. And if you go back. Was it? Shoot, now I'm questioning myself because I'm like, oh God, was that really? Because I'm almost certain that it was the one in Las Vegas, because that was the night I had the meet and greet, and it was the Frey tour. Yeah, 2012 Frey tour Every Time. And I asked her what the request was in the meet and greet. It's in the audio that I put on the episode a few weeks ago. And she says, oh, yeah, we're doing Every Time by Britney Spears. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's a great song. I forgot that I went to Vegas for the Frey tour, which also had the fan requests.
Mm-hmm.
In.
Yep. And the last one on my list, I mean, I love them all, but the last one. Oh, you know what? Creep. It wasn't Creep TLC. It was Creep Radiohead. Duh. Okay. Of course. Thank you, Deb. We love you, Deb. Everyone knows Deborah Bechtel. We spoke to her about this years ago, so go scroll through some of our early episodes. Last one I'm including is Till the World Ends by Britney Spears. One that I wasn't expecting to be anything special, but it just makes me smile so much every time. It's just so much fun, and I don't have any other comments. Just really damn good.
Yeah. Like I said earlier in the show, Fix You by Coldplay is, I mean, anytime she does Coldplay, it's so good.
That was one of the very first ones.
Yeah. And I love the fact that it's on the live album because I will listen to that every single time. I mean, just an absolutely beautiful rendition of that song. I really go towards a lot of the like more ballady songs. So I'm just kind of looking at my list as a whole. I mean, I got a couple of upbeat ones, but Gravity by Sarah Bareilles that she did on the Stronger tour.
Yep.
Such a good song in and of itself. And then Kelly does it. Hello. Then I've got Jamie's selection, Shake It Out. I put that on my list as well. It's so good.
So good.
I'm such a sucker for Oasis. So when she did Wonderwall on the World Tour, she did that one down in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Can't Help Falling in Love. She did that by Elvis on the Piece by Piece tour. Stuff like that there. Now, I know that Betty Hutton is it's like the version from 1941. I know that's the version that gets a lot of the credit for it. Kelly's really doing the Bette Midler version from For the Boys, I think it is. It was like I think it's a 90s movie, maybe. But that's really kind of the version that she's doing. And then, obviously, I also have to mention Purple Rain. I'm such a huge Prince fan. She was so nervous to do that song. And she even says it in the clip. She's like, I'm really nervous. I don't want to screw this up in Prince's hometown. And she did a phenomenal job. It was so good. Plus, I loved it for Aben because Aben got to do that like epic guitar solo, which is just one of the best guitar solos of the rock era. So, so good. So, yeah, that was so good on so many levels.
Going back to stuff like that there, I forgot So I, that was at Radio City during the Piece by Piece tour. I had actually met her before the show. I got a meet and greet. And I had asked her what the song was going to be. And she's like, I'm not going to say what it is, but it's my choice.
Oh.
And I'm glad she didn't tell me. It was a really awesome surprise. So stuff like that was kind of like a selfish pick for her, which I'm like, by all means, do it. Do it.
Absolutely.
So it's cool. A cool little nugget. So, I mean, there are so many, like, I, you know, I didn't mention there's so many more, like All My Life, Foo Fighters. That was a huge one for me. What else? There's so many. There's so many. But let me quiz you without looking.
Oh, man.
Do you remember what the very first one was? The very first fan request song?
The very first one. So that would have, I mean, we're talking like the Stronger tour?
January 2012.
It wasn't Fix You, was it?
No, that was one of the, that was the third one.
I don't remember what it was.
A little forgettable. Forget You by CeeLo Green.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the very first one that they did in, I don't know what town this is called, Ledyard? I don't know where that is, somewhere on the East Coast. That was the very first one. I kind of forgot about it, I'm not going to lie.
All right.
Fun fact for you. And the very last one she did, I didn't know this one.
I don't know it either.
Well, it was hard because she was supposed to do some more dates on the Piece by Piece tour, and then they got canceled because she was sick. So the last show, I think, was in Nashville. Maybe. Love Me Like a Man, Bonnie Raitt.
Oh.
Which is a great song. Great song. So.
I'm just sitting here thinking about, you know, 2012 Kelly Clarkson versus 2024 Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson would absolutely do today. She would do the unedited version of the CeeLo Green song.
1,000%. 1,000%.
She wouldn't sanitize it like she did back in 2012.
No. No, she's like, F that, literally. so anyway, there was our trip down memory lane with fan requests. There was so much more we could have got into, but we would have been here for about 5 hours.
Yes.
So, sorry, we're going to spare you. But we would love to know what some of your favorites were. Hit us up on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Miss Into Podcast, and let us know your favorites. Was yours chosen? Let us know.
Yes, we would love to hear about more people who had their song chosen, and maybe you've got a cool story that goes along with it. We want to say a big shout out to a couple of our Patreon supporters. I want to say hi to Joshua. Thank you very much for being at the All I Ever Wanted level. I want to say hi to Kara, who is at the Kara Jerk, who's at the $25 Addicted level, and David Mosley, who is at the Addicted level as well. Thank you so much for being Patreon supporters of Miss Into Podcast. We certainly do appreciate it. Hopefully you have enjoyed some of the cool perks that have come along with being a Patreon member. Of course, we've got Patreon exclusive member store that has items that you can't find in the regular everyday store for purchase. Also, you guys get the extra bonus content from some of our big interviews. So like our interview with Weiss Eubanks, our interview with Joe Ayoub, we have extra bonus content just for our Patreon members that you can check out on the Patreon page. And of course, there's four different levels for you to subscribe at. So there's something that fits everyone's abilities when it comes to supporting Miss Into Podcast. And speaking of the merch stores, you can find those as well at missintopodcast.com. Again, there is the standard store, which has a whole bunch of items. And then we've also got our exclusive Patreon subscriber only store that has some cool stuff in there as well. So take advantage if you have the opportunity.
We will be back next week with another interview. Someone who's worked with Kelly, Team KC.
Very excited about this one. We are going to be telling some stories with this one.
Yes. So we hope you will join us next week. And until then, have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Miss Into Podcast. Miss Into Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Find us and continue the conversation at Miss Into Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Find more at missintopodcast.com.